The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Measles, disinformation, anti-vax talk. What's happening?
So here's what's happening in the UK. So far this year, there have been over 500 cases of measles in the UK. Now, this is in a country that once, just a few years ago, almost eliminated measles. Of them, they're mainly affecting children, and there's been one death in Liverpool. Now, a lot of that's been driven mainly in nurseries, play schools where young kids are hanging around. Now, measles is incredibly infectious. Each case gives rise to 12 to 18 secondary cases. If we put our pandemic hats on, remember, or naughts and all that stuff, or naughts 12 to 18. So very, very infectious. And unfortunately, children are particularly susceptible because they're in close quarters. Now, a lot of nurseries are struggling with this because children that were once vaccinated going in are no longer being vaccinated because the parents are either being exposed to anti-vaccine misinformation or have, for other reasons, opted not to vaccinate, most likely the former. And unfortunately, that's causing severe consequences. So nurseries are starting to bring in COVID-like protocols. The only problem is measles is so infectious and airborne that COVID-like protocols aren't particularly useful. No. And particularly trying to get children to follow these protocols doesn't
work.
Kids
crawling all around the place and, you know, mixing on surfaces and with toys and all the rest of it. Virtually impossible once it gets into a nursery to stop it infecting everyone who's not vaccinated.
And that's where we use vaccines as a firewall. And again, for something like measles, you need about 95% of a population vaccinated to stonewall it in its tracks. Unfortunately, that's not the case in the UK. Now, there is a reluctance to bring in mandatory vaccination. But again, other countries do it. I always say Australia have a no jab, no play policy. So to go to one of their play schools, you need to be vaccinated. And that's been very effective as a public health policy over there. The US used to have that. And again, measles was declared extinct in the US in the year 2000, only 25 years ago. But unfortunately, there were so many exemptions due to what are called religious exemptions, which weren't really religious, but they were, you know, pushed by anti-vaccine lobbyists to use religion as a discretionary way of not having to vaccinate. They were what led to the initial breaking of the firewall in the US. And now they're having major measles outbreaks in all across the US. In Texas, for example, over 500 cases with two deaths, all in children.
Now, the vaccination of children has been going on, it's now centuries in Britain, isn't that so?
And I always bring it back to this. When people talk about, oh, is it okay to enforce vaccination? Well, actually, there's been three different vaccination acts in the UK, all in the 1800s. And they were all brought out for the reason that there was massive outbreaks of smallpox at the time. And we had a vaccine for that. And it was declared, you know, it was tested in courts, it was tested everywhere else, it was there. In the US as well, in 1905, there was a Supreme Court judgment that found that mandatory vaccination was constitutional. It wasn't an imposition on your liberties. Mm. Actually tested twice in the Supreme Court. So it's weird that we're bringing up these arguments again. We're a little bit reluctant. We're saying it's parental choice. But again, if one's parental choice may be based on ignorance or fear or misinformation, affects someone else's child,
well, that's the point.
Or even their own child.
If your choice is to allow your child with measles or potentially with measles to mix with another child who perhaps can't, for health reasons,
be
get
vaccinated.
A vaccine,
exactly. And it's also your own child isn't your property. I mean, a parent has a right to hold whatever opinion they wish, but they don't have the right to inflict that on their child. In other circumstances, we would look at that as neglect. As someone said to me when I put this up on Instagram a few days ago, to put your dog in a groomer's or into a kennel, your dog has to be vaccinated.
Yeah.
And yet people aren't taking the same precautions with their children.
And every single case of measles is likely to infect 12 to 18
other people. 12 to 18 other people. So again, if you get a single case in an immuno-naive population, so people who aren't vaccinated, you're going to have far, far more. It's going to explode in that population. So that's the reason we vaccinate. Now, the problem is vaccines are victims of their own success. So oftentimes when I talk to parents who are vaccine hesitant, they'll say, oh, well, measles isn't a big problem anymore, so I didn't get my kid vaccinated. And I have to remind them that measles isn't a big problem because
it's not there.
Because people vaccinate. But once you stop vaccination, the disease didn't go away. You've just given it a foothold.
Hmm. Well, now on to that clip from Tulsi Gabbard, the director. I mean, it's even incredible giving her, putting the word intelligence in her title. But is she stupid? Is she just obeying her master's voice, or is she what might be called a useful idiot?
Well, let's break down what she's actually doing, because she called last week on Friday a big press conference, of course, went on Fox News, obligatory, where she said that she had this bombshell revelation in the intelligence files that Barack Obama had started a conspiracy, a treasonous conspiracy, she called it, against Donald Trump. Now, this was based on the fact, if you remember back to 2016, the intelligence committees had an ICA, which was one of their internal reports, and they found that Russia was trying to influence the election by both running a covert social media campaign to discredit Hillary Clinton and also by hacking emails and leaking them to make Hillary look bad.
So, and the investigation headed by Marco Rubio, no less.
Marco Rubio was the head of it, absolutely. And they established,
conclusively agreed with that thesis.
Yeah, that began in 2016, even before the election. And again, when she claims it was released when Trump was president, it was released in 2017, but that's because it had been completed then and they have a certain amount of time before it goes public. Now, what she is now claiming is a separate report, which does exist, where American intelligence agencies looked at the ability of Russia to, say, hack the infrastructure, to cyber attack, to take the voter registration sites and make up people, things like that. And they concluded that they were quite robust against that. So it was very unlikely that Russia would do that. What she has done, what Gabbard has done here, is to take that report and try to present it as if it shows that the other report was fake. It does not. They're not mutually contradictory. She's doing this, and she was asked by the CNN anchor just last night whether she's doing this to curry favour with Trump. Because remember, Trump has always said that the intelligence findings that Russia have been supporting his campaigns is fake news, as he calls it. So it seems very much like she's trying to acquiesce to his demands, which is, we live in a strange timeline, as we say a lot in this show, Pat.
Yeah, and the fact that they're all prepared to lie for Trump. We talked about Trump's barefaced lies. I mean, he talked about his support being at 98%, which it isn't, even on things that he should be strong on, like immigration, he's in negative approval ratings. On the economy, he's in negative approval ratings. Even his big, bad, beautiful bill is not getting the support he thought it would get. And he's prepared to lie about that.
And he's also in trouble. Part of this is being, like, again, this is not the only intelligence thing being dragged up. Files on, say, Martin Luther King Jr. and the assassination were dragged from the JFK assassination. A lot of this is smoke and mirrors because right now, even Trump's base is unhappy with him over the Epstein revelations. As in, the Wall Street Journal have now come out and said quite openly, with the risk of being sued, that he is mentioned several times in those Epstein files, with the implication...
He must be a bit worried because the Wall Street Journal coming out with that birthday card or whatever it was, some sort of a booklet for Epstein's 50th birthday and Trump's contribution, which they reproduced in the paper. And now they're talking about Trump being briefed in May that his name was listed several times in the files that, according to Trump, now don't exist.
Of course, which he riled his base up with, his MAGA hardcore supporters. He riled them up for a long time with this, even said, release the files, we have the files. So now he's flustered, and this is... There's an argument that a lot of this is basically a distraction to try. Now, he's also been tweeting pictures of Obama, AI deepfakes of him in a prison jumpsuit. And the hashtag arrest Obama was trending on, of course, of all platforms, X recently. But this does seem like a distraction. And Trump is, again, this is a classic misinformation technique. Distract, distract, distract. You get people off a central focus. This seems like
but
that.
But sometimes the claims he makes are so outlandish that they cease to be effective. And I think the Obama claim is probably one of those.
And you got to remember, Obama, he was his original nemesis. He really always disliked Obama, which is why he ran for the presidency. So it's going kind of full circle on that as well.
I remember when Obama was giving that address to the White House press corps at that dinner they have every year. And he does a stand-up routine, what he did. And one of the lines he delivered, based on the fact that Trump always said he wasn't American, that he was
born in Kenya.
Yeah, yeah. And one of the lines he delivered with Donald in the room was about, I remember playing with Donald when we grew up together in Kenya.
And he also showed a clip from The Lion King, if you remember, and said, this is my long-form birth video. And it cuts to Donald Trump's face in the crowd at the press dinner, and he storms out of there furious. And people argue that's the moment he decided he was running. And this is where we are now in 2025.
Well, this is, do you think, going to go away in time? Will it just diffuse like many of the other ridiculous things that Trump has been up to? Will it just diffuse, or has this got potential to really undo him?
If this was just Trump, it would be one thing. But the fact that you have the director of national intelligence repeating what are very obvious lies that it doesn't take much brain power to debunk, to spreading, I mean, deliberate disinformation in this case, that's worrying. It's the acquiescence and the servitude of people working for Trump that's far more frightening than Trump himself in this current administration. Whether this story goes away or not, whether the Epstein stuff blows up in his face or not, it's hard to know. But he has absolutely got his claws in every branch of the executive in a way he didn't have before. That's concerning.
Mm. And is it Steve Miller who's really running the show?
That would be disturbing in its own right. Yeah.
All right. Thanks very much, David Robert Grimes. Thank you very much for joining us. Now,
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.